Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
Grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths.
Are you ready?
We both have the same beverage this time, but we both haven't tried it yet. One, two.
It's not bad. Not bad.
Okay, so if you're listening in, we are tasting Monster Cafe. Salted caramel flavor. Or Cafe Monster, I'm sorry. Energy coffee. We got these from Mama Llama, and she tried one of them, I think, and she's just not a very big salted caramel fan is what she told me, and I was like, it's a hit or miss with me. It depends, but it's not so bad.
No. So these are in glass bottles instead of the tall cans like Monster drinks usually are.
Yeah.
But
I also like the labeling.
The label's pretty cute.
Yeah, it reminds me of their espresso drinks that got me through a few nights in Hawaii when I was working overnights.
Yeah. The first taste is pretty good, but it's got a bit of an aftertaste.
Yeah. Heh. So, starting next week, we'll be reviewing Bones Coffee Company coffee, because it should be, in theory, here by next week's recording.
That's what you said last time. It's supposed to arrive either tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, it was in Florida for, like, the past 5 days or so. But, I mean, that's fine, because they tell you on the thing when you order it to give them 3 to 5 days to freshly prepare the coffee before they send it. Okay, so we're gonna do grab bag week. Now, before we get started, I'll be real, I spent most of my weekend researching this week's topic because I had to change mine last minute, and I'll let you guys know when I do mine. I'm gonna do mine at the end. Or on the second half of the show, we're gonna have Leah do hers the first half because she was like, really, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Because she was looking at so many different things.
There are too many options.
She had too many options. So I looked at her and I was like, you're gonna do this because I wanna know what the answer is. And I saw so many different things. I wanna know what you'll find to see if it's like the same stuff I found. So what did you research this week?
All right, so we're gonna discuss the global superstition about not whistling at night.
Banana!
This belief can be found from Mexico to Canada, the Middle East to China, Japan to Hawaii, Korea to Thailand, Samoa to the tribes of Native Americans, and the Tonga people to New Zealand. Elders tell the young, don't whistle at night or bad things will happen. In some places, it's as simple as that, while other cultures express that evil spirits will be drawn to you and cause you harm. Evil spirits, in this regard, are kind of a generic term, while other places have extensive stories about specific creatures that absolutely will wreck your shit. So in some Slavic cultures, if you whistle indoors, you will draw poverty to yourself.
Oh.
And there's a Russian proverb that means whistling money away. In Estonia, it's believed that whistling indoors will cause the house to catch on fire. That's a face.
I don't like it.
No. So that's your, like, base bad thing will happen. Then meanwhile, in China, some believe that whistling at night invites ghosts to enter your home. Similarly, in Korea, they believe it summons ghosts and snakes. In Japan, it attracts snakes, thieves, and tengu. People of Samoa and Tonga believe whistling at night may cause you to be visited by unwanted spirits. In Samoa, the spirits may break your jaw or rip your mouth off.
Oh no, none of that. Okay.
In Samoa, the evil spirits are called Aitu. In some places in the Middle East, like Turkey, some believe that it will call the devil, while some Arabic people believe it will lure jinns. Referring to the larger grouping of supernatural creatures and not specifically the genie-type creatures that are also called jinns.
About to ask. I was like, wait, like genies? But you just answered my question. So.
Yeah. Some Siamese people of Thailand believe it brings bad luck and calls on evil spirits. And the Maori of New Zealand believe it, if you whistle after midnight specifically, the kahua will whistle back. And these are ghosts and spirits. An Inuit legend says that someone who whistles at the aurora borealis will call down the spirits that live in the northern lights. According to a poem by poet Kate Tuthill, the spirits would swoop to earth and carry you up to the luminescent sky.
Dang. I mean, that's probably one of the better of the possibilities compared to some of the other things that...
Yeah. In the United Kingdoms, there is a superstition dubbed the Seven Whistlers, which are seven mysterious birds or spirits that are omens of death and calamity.
Fun.
Belief of this has been documented in Midland, England, Essex, Kent, Lancashire, North Wales, and Portugal. Miners have refused to enter mines after hearing whistling, and it's even been written about in literature and poems. Some people have had strange experiences while in the woods at night in the United States that they think may be Wendigos, but while searching specifically for Wendigos and whistling, I wasn't finding anything that definitively ties those two together. In Mexico, whistling invites La Lechuza to snatch the whistler. Whistle has become a word that no longer has meaning. to snatch the whistler and take them away. La Lechuza are witches that can transform into owls.
Oh.
Lechuza is also the word for barn owl in Spanish, so that's part of where that comes from.
Okay.
La Lechuza can appear as a large owl with a woman's face and hair, and it's said that they start off as a human woman, but sell their souls to the devil to become brujas. During the daytime, they appear human, but once night falls, they take to their bird form. They will whistle or cry out like an infant to draw their prey's attention.
Mm-mm. No, no thank you.
If you hear the sound of La Lechuza, it's said not only are you in danger of being their meal, but it's also a warning that a family member will die.
Nope.
They are strong enough to carry off grown people in their talons and will even swoop at cars to run them off the road so that they can get to the inhabitants.
Mm.
They can't be hurt by weapons, but they can be driven away by salt. They have power over weather and can cause storms, and also have the ability to make your car battery die.
That's very specific.
If you come across one, don't look it in the eye because it will come for you and your soul while you sleep. In Hawaii, whistling draws the attention of the hukaipo, or night marchers. These are the spirits of long-gone Hawaiian warriors. They are dressed for battle, carrying their clubs and spears. However, their feet hover above the ground so that there's no evidence of their presence. If you hear them, you must go inside and lay prone on the floor to avoid their notice. Don't look at them, for they may harm or kill you. If you show them proper respect, you may survive. Or, if you were lucky enough to have a family ancestor in their number, they would claim you and this would keep you safe. I know that Eliza's mentioned this once or twice while she lived in Hawaii.
Well, so I worked as a security guard around one of the Halloweens. It wasn't on Halloween because you were visiting that Halloween, but it was like one of those overnight shifts. And I worked from like, I want to say 5 p.m. to 6 or 5 a.m. or whatever. Anyway, so I was working with my one coworker that's really, really superstitious. And I was doing the rounds on the exterior while he was manning the video or whatever. So I hear this conch shell blowing. I was like, oh, and I see this guy on the corner and he's wearing like a construction worker's outfit. I was like, that's really cool. Really cool blowing, man. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And he just runs. And I'm like, what? And so I walk in back to the like main office and my coworker's like, wait, what happened? And I was like, yeah, there's this dude blowing a conch shell. He's like, have you ever heard of the Night Marchers? And I'm like, no, what the fuck is that? And so he explained to me what those were. And I was like, okay, note to self, bad juju. Don't fuck with that. Got it. Okay. That was like one of my few experiences.
So as she was saying about the conch shell, the Night Marchers are accompanied by the sound of war drums and conch shells being blown. So across the world, some people have come to rationalize these stories as training tales for children. In some places many years ago, it was unsafe to make noise at night. Warring tribes may come to capture, hurt, or kill you if they heard you making noise while alone. So on top of all of these beliefs across the globe, there's also certain professions that consider whistling bad luck. So whistling backstage at a theater is considered bad luck and will jinx the performance. This may come from the fact that many backstage crews back in the day were once sailors, which is why they were so skilled with the rigging. Whistling was considered bad luck on ships, and so it makes sense that if this superstition followed the sailors to the stage. And that's what I found after Eliza asked me to look into why you should not whistle at night.
And to clarify, the reason I was wondering is because I saw so many TikToks and videos of people being like, oh, you're not supposed to whistle at night. And I was like, why? What's the reason? I want to know. And they were like, not explaining it. And it's like, I'd never heard of that before. And just so y'all know, I love whistling. So that made me a little upset, knowing that that was a bad thing to be doing. And then learning all that, I was like, oh, well, I can't whistle at all.
Well, it depends on which you're gonna believe. So potentially it's safe to do in your house, but not if you're from Slavic countries.
Right.
And then it's okay to do during the day. outside of your house.
You can do it outside during the day when the sun is most high.
But, you know, I think it's interesting that this was across so many different places. And I think that one rationalization that it was to keep you safe from enemies, mm-hmm. that makes a lot of sense. But you know what also would make sense? You know when you were little and, like, someone in your family would just get so aggravated with your bullshit that they'd be like, oh, you shouldn't do that because the boogeyman's gonna get you or whatever.
Oh, like someone did that about their kids because they were whistling too much?
Yeah, they were like, this bitch will not stop whistling. If you don't stop whistling, the lechuza is gonna get you. You won't have to worry about the chancla because the lechuza is gonna get you.
Oh my god.
So I would not be surprised if that was also kind of a basis for it. Because, like, families build their own
lore.
Yeah, my grandmother on my dad's side, when I was growing up, I could not eat the crust on bread. It was just one of those things.
Okay, that's fair. A lot of kids are like that.
Right. And my grandmother told me that if I ate my crust, I would get curly hair. And I really, really wanted curly hair. So I started eating crust on my grilled cheeses that she made me. And my hair is still straight as a pin today.
Sorry.
So you got me, Grandma. You got me.
Well, I ate some of the crust on my bread.
Eliza's hair is very curly. Lots of curls.
Lots of curls. Like, it's straighter up higher because of
the weight.
The weight, but the further down. Like, if I were to cut my hair up, it'd be really curly higher up. As opposed to as far down, the big ringlets that it comes out to.
Yeah. Kind of more Annie status, like from the movie.
I don't know about that. Like, when I was a kid, it was like, it would still be straighter up at the top, and then it'd poof out on the sides. It wasn't cute. I didn't think it was cute. I was like, no. Because when I was like, what, 9, 10, I had that unfortunate hairstyle done to me where it was like really short in the back and then it went down longer towards like the face.
Mm-hmm. An inverted bob.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one of those.
Some things just don't work with curly hair.
No. No, they don't. But the other thing is, when I was 7 and I accidentally got a bowl cut. Yeah. That story.
I've only seen pictures of that with it straightened.
It was straight when I had a bowl cut for some crazy reason, and people all thought I was a boy trying to dress up as a girl in Northern California, and I got made fun of. I got told I was a transvestite. I didn't even know what that word meant because I was 7. It was just rampant. It was really bad. I'd come home crying during that whole time. And then there was one point where I was like, I might as well just cut my hair out off and turn it into a mohawk, because I always wanted a mohawk because of Crash Bandicoot. And that never happened. I asked, like, my mom was just like, okay, she just wants a trim. Bowl cut happened. How it happened, I'm not really sure. I'm sorry, I went on a little bit of a tangent about hair. Anywho's it. So that's whistling.
Yeah, so most of the things didn't mention things whistling back at you, and I tried researching even, like, monsters that whistle at night, and I wasn't coming up with the things that I was looking for, mm-hmm. but I was finding a lot of first-person accounts on, like, Reddit being like, like, there's a no, it's called no sleep because they're scary stories.
Jesus.
And there was one where the person was like, a kid and they were whistling in their house, but they had their window open and there was something whistling back. And when they would change the pattern, it would change the pattern. And their grandmother came in, was like, stop that. And was like, we have to sleep in the other room. And it's because something, she had closed the window and something had been outside the window whistling back.
Nope. That's a big nope on my part. Mm-mm. Nope. Bye.
And then there was, but they didn't know what it was. And then there was these two guys who were, I think they were in college. They were brothers. And they used to go and hike and camp in the woods a lot. And this one time they went and this thing out in the woods was like pacing just outside where they could see from the fire, like the ring of light.
Uh-uh.
And it was doing like a two-tone whistle. And then there'd be 3 or 4 seconds, and then it would be the same whistle. And then the sounds of them moving got faster and faster. And eventually they were able to get away because 3 hikers heard them, like, freaking out. And they also called the park police. And then once people showed up, they left. They never went back out. But that was really freaky to read, too. And that was where it was, like, the people in the comment section were like, that sounds like a Wendigo from, like, the other things that, like, because he saw it very briefly in the description. They were like, that sounded like a Wendigo. And I was like, I couldn't remember if when you did the story of the Wendigo on, I think that was our first grab bag.
That was.
If they mentioned whistling at all. But when I searched both of those words together, Google was, like, failing me. So those are some freaky stories, though. So don't
whistle at night.
Don't look for them unless you want to freak yourself out.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't need to do that.
Mm-mm.
No. And if you ever catch me doing that because I forget, smack me.
I will.
Please. I'd appreciate it.
I will.
Thoroughly.
So that's whistling, and we are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
And we're back. Okay, folks, as a little, like, update on the coffee situation, I can't drink the rest of mine. Leah's, like, first comment as soon as we turned off the recording on the first part was, I would not buy this again. I'm like, we got it for free. Like, you didn't even spend any money.
The ones that come in the can, certain coffee flavors of Monsters, I like.
Right.
But this one, it's just, I have a thing about aftertaste, and this one has an aftertaste, so, like, it's very apparent. I cannot finish it.
Yeah, like,
I tried.
So, back in, like, 2016, I want to say,
mm-hmm.
I think it was more like 2015 or 14, we would get Monster from, like, Costco. Like, Costco-sized Monster containers, and it was always, like, the white one,
mm-hmm.
You know, 0 calories or whatever. Anyway, we drank so much of it, it eventually started tasting like cement. So I try different Monsters out sometimes to see if it's gonna, but I'm starting to get that feeling mm-hmm. in my stomach, and I'm like, nope, we're done. No more. So thankfully I brought a water bottle down with me.
So what are you doing this week?
This week,
tell us the backstory while you're on this.
Yeah, alright. So before I get started, I want to note that originally I was looking into Caribbean mythology for this week's episode. However, after finding not a ton online my first go, and knowing I have a few people I know that are familiar with the material at work that I can speak with on the matter outside of work, because that's something they have either grown up with or it's part of their culture, I want to do this right and do this respectfully, and I will be waiting until our next grab bag in May to do a Caribbean mythological creature slash being. So, with that being said, today I'm going to be discussing a mythological being I have been interested about since my childhood. One that I actually had a dream about in December and was on the fence about doing until recently. Now, I know I just did the Yama Uba last week in Japanese mythology. However, this one definitely has its differences and quite a bit to pull from as well. Alright everyone, hold on to your hats and prep yourselves because we're taking a ride. We are speaking of Baba Yaga. Alright, so, Baba Yaga, origins come from Russian and East Slavic lore. There is evidence through the tales that she was originally more of a sort of deity, possibly more like a Mother Earth figure.
Hmm.
Also, through the tales we will discuss today, there exist tales where there are multiple Baba Yagas. For example, there's one where there are 3 sisters, all of the same name.
Okay.
So, for etymology, Baba is found to be a Babel word, kind of like Mama or Papa. In Old Russian, it may have meant midwife, sorceress, or fortune teller.
It's a wide range of jobs.
In modern Russian, babushka means grandmother and derives from baba, as well as the Polish version for grandmother. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's B-A-B-C-I-A is how they spelled it. Yaga has conflicting theories ranging from meaning snake to wicked.
Ooh.
Yeah. She has appeared in hundreds, if not thousands, of folktales in Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus, predating the 18th century. The first clear reference was in 1755 in Mikhail V. Lomonosov's Rossiyskaya Grammatik, or Russian Grammar, where Baba Yaga is mentioned twice. Once as a figure largely from Slavic tradition, and second as a figure within a list of Slavic gods and beings next to their presumed Roman mythological equivalent. For example, Slavic god Perun, the equivalent in this book to the god Jupiter, which, compared to the Greek gods, Zeus. Except, in this list, Baba Yaga doesn't appear with an equivalence, showing how unique she truly was. Mm-hmm. Some common features is that there's a turning chicken-legged hut that she lives in, a mortar, pestle, mop, or broom that she rides on, Baba Yaga being described as bony-legged. When inside her dwelling, she is found reaching from one corner of the hut to another, stretched out over the stove. She may sense or mention the Russian scent of those that visit her. Her nose may stick into the ceiling. There has been an emphasis on the repulsiveness of her nose, breasts, buttocks, or vagina. And the literal comment I have next to that is, why are we commenting on her vagina? I don't know.
Right? Like, why?
Why? Why is that a thing? I don't know. So, in many stories, three Baba Yagas are often depicted as sisters. For example, in The Maiden Tsar, collected in the 19th century by Alexander Afanasyev, Ivan, a merchant's handsome son, goes to the home of one of the three Baba Yagas, and upon entry, she says, "Fifi, the Russian smell was never heard of nor caught sight of here, but it has come by itself. Are you here of your own free will or by compulsion, my good youth?" He responds, "Largely of my own free will and twice as much by compulsion. Do you know, Baba Yaga, where lies thrice 10th kingdom?" And she retorts, "No, I do not," and tells him to go to her second sister for she might know. Ivan goes to the second's hut, and the same conversation occurs between the Baba Yaga and Ivan. She also does not know, and directs him to the third and youngest sister, but warns him that if she grows angry with him and wants to devour you, take three horns from her and ask her permission to blow them. Blow the first one softly, the second one louder, and the third still louder. Ivan thanks her and continues on. At the third, Baba Yaga's hut. Here she makes the same comment about the Russian smell before running to wet her teeth, which also means sharpen her teeth, and consume Ivan. Ivan begs her to give him three horns, and she does. He blows the horns as the second Baba Yaga instructed, and then birds of all sorts arrive and swarm the hut. One of these birds is a firebird, which tells him to hop on its back or Baba Yaga will eat him. He does so. Baba Yaga rushes and grabs the firebird by its tail, and the firebird leaves with Ivan and the Baba Yaga with a fist full of firebird feathers. She also appears in a number of lubki, which singularly are called lubok, which are wood blocks that were popular in late 17th and early 18th century Russia. Some show Baba Yaga straddling a pig into battle against a reptilian entity described as a crocodile. Some scholars believe this is a political parody, for example, Baba Yaga being Catherine I and the crocodile being Peter the Great. For all of those that are thinking Catherine and Peter from that Hulu show called The Greats, this is not them, this is like pre that generation. Another features Baba Yaga dancing with a bagpipe-playing bald man, possibly a merrier depiction of Catherine I and Peter the Great. Other scholars believe this actually reflects a concept of Baba Yaga as a shaman. If this is so, the crocodile may just be a monster she fights.
Hmm.
Some scholars propose the concept of Baba Yaga was influenced by East Slavic contact with Finno-Ugric and Siberian peoples. Britannica describes her as an ogress who steals, cooks, and eats her victims, usually children. Guardian of the Water of Life, lives with two or three sisters, also known as Baba Yaga, in a forest hut, on chicken legs surrounded by a fence topped with human skulls. Here she is described as being able to ride in the air in an iron kettle, or in a mortar she drives with a pestle, creating a violent windstorm as she goes. Often accompanies death on his travels, devouring newly released souls. So, here are some other actual stories I found. Vasilisa the Beautiful, which was, this is the version by Alexander Afanasyev. Vasilisa is a Cinderella sort of character with a magical doll. Her mother dies, and her father marries a horrible woman with unkind daughters. Dad goes away, and the new stepmother sells their house and moves herself and the three girls to a wooded cottage. Here she gives the girls impossible tasks to complete by candlelight. The stepsisters demand Vasilisa to go outside to find more light. It is here Vasilisa encounters Baba Yaga. Baba Yaga gives Vasilisa numerous difficult chores to complete in exchange for fire to take back to the cottage home. In this story, Baba Yaga's house is connected to three writers. Baba Yaga has no problem explaining what the writers are, but will kill you if you ask about her servants. Here, Baba Yaga explains that one is white, with a white horse and white saddle, and is day. The other is a red rider and is the sun. The other is a black rider and is the night. All three are controlled by her in this story and feeds into the more Mother Earth goddess theory.
Okay.
With the magical doll's help, Vasilisa is able to complete all of the tasks given to her by Baba Yaga. Baba Yaga makes good on her word by giving Vasilisa fire in a skull lantern. But upon returning to the cottage, the fire from the skull incinerates the stepmother and sisters. They're dead. This story ends on a happy note, however, with Vasilisa marrying a Tsar of Russia. Another story is of peasant children that are victims of a cruel stepmother. The children are sent to Baba Yaga to be rid of them, but they escape the hut through the help of the animals, plants, and objects Baba Yaga neglects. For example, a black cat helps the children plan their escape for feeding him when the witch doesn't. The children return home in one piece, and Baba Yaga gives up looking for the children because of it being all too much of a hassle with so many things pitted against her. The stepmother ends up thrown out of the house with the father protecting his children. From the New World Encyclopedia site, I found that there were parts of this story, such as the objects, animals, and plants helping the children out here, actually helping Vasilisa in a different version of the Vasilisa story.
Okay.
According to that site, there are many stories of Baba Yaga differing depending on who is telling a story about her. The outcome, however, usually emphasizes purity of spirit and polite manners. If approached correctly, Baba Yaga can be a source of guidance. Otherwise, she can be quite dangerous. It is possible that the chicken leg house is an interpretation of an ordinary construction popular among hunter-gatherer nomadic peoples of Siberia, of Uralic and Tungusic families. The structures were invented to preserve supplies against animals during long periods of absence. They would be doorless and windowless log cabins built upon supports made from the stumps of two or three closely grown trees cut at the height of 8 or 10 feet. You can only access the cabin via a trapdoor in the middle of the floor of the structure, with the roots at the bottom of the stumps capable of giving the impression of chicken legs. There were also similar and smaller constructions by Siberian pagans made to hold figurines of their gods. There are also indications that ancient Slavs had a funeral tradition of cremation in huts of this type. Such huts were found in 1948 by Russian archaeologists Yefremenko and Tretyakov, with circular fences around the structures and evidence of cremation in the structures. If you want to see images of those structures, just Google Sami Storehouse on Stilts. It's literally all you have to Google, and it'll show you tons.
Like Sami, like the people who wear red?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't it? Okay. So in popular culture, you can find Baba Yaga in a whole bunch. I knew Baba Yaga as a kid from Bartok the Magnificent, featuring Baba Yaga but not as the antagonist. To my younger millennials and Gen Zs out there, this was a direct-to-home video spin-off movie from the animated film Anastasia following the villain's sidekick bat, Bartok. So Baba Yaga is also the primary antagonist in a fantasy novel called Enchantment by Orson Scott Card. She is found in Dungeons & Dragons, she's a villain in the Hellboy comics, and apparently also is in Hellboy, the, 2019 reboot, and in two famous musicals and so many more. So yes, that is Baba Yaga. So, quick story on that. Last night, I saw that there was Baba Yaga in Hellboy 2019, and I was like, I had no idea this character was even in there, so we're gonna watch this for research purposes, when really I just wanted an excuse to watch it. So we watch it, and that Baba Yaga was creepy as fuck.
Very scary.
Oh my god. Did a really good job with the scare factor. I didn't realize until midway through the movie that the director was actually the same one that did the horror film The Descent. Which, if you've seen it, it's quite a gory movie.
Yes, that was a very, very gory movie.
Yeah.
Both that one and this.
Hellboy. Yeah, they did a really good job at doing the horror aspect of it. I was not expecting all of that, but at the same time, I wasn't sure what to expect because I grew up watching the originals with Del Toro doing the directing and writing and all that, so it was different.
I know she's in the one Lara Croft game.
Yes, she's also in that. She's in quite a lot of things. Oh, apparently she's also in Fortnite. Which I didn't know until I was looking at art, and I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, I wanted to talk about the art. So I did the drawing for her already, and I went for more of a kind old lady approach. Because in my head, if I were an old woman living in the middle of the woods in a place like that, I would make up some scary stories to tell people so that they don't fuck with me. Because, honestly, let's be real. Anyway. I hope you're all doing well. And did you want to do the ending remarks?
Reminders, everybody. Make sure to check out our art for this week's entities on our Instagram at Coffee Table Mythos. If you want to share any art of your own of these creatures, make sure to use our hashtag Coffee Table Mythos so that we and our followers can check them out. As always, if you have any stories or requests, please email us at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com. Remember to mention if you want a shout out of either a name or handle and where to find you, or if you would like to remain anonymous. You can also find us on our Facebook page, Coffee Table Mythos, where you can message us as well.
Check out our merch on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos. We are adding more listings as we research more beings and make more art. If you would like to donate to us, you can on anchor.fm/coffeetablemythos, or you can become a patron through patreon.com/coffeetablemythos. For right now, all donations will go to making this podcast better. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, share, and review our podcast if you have the time. We are interested in what you have to say. This is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.